Homepage News, which, here we go. I'm Mike Duff, just louder. I'm contributing editor to Homepage News, which is the IHA news site. Just wanted to let you know, we'll be doing a little wrap-up of this, but also this will be an audio file on the IHA site shortly, so if you want to revisit it, you can do that. Right now, this is how micro-fulfillment enables growth. Corey Apirian, CEO and founder of Da Vinci Micro-Fulfillment, is going to fill us in on, you know, the shift from bricks and mortar to omnichannel fulfillment has been a challenge for many companies. Da Vinci Micro-Fulfillment has eyes on the challenge and knowledge of how the challenges can be addressed. Corey, please.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm Corey Apirian, CEO and founder of Da Vinci Micro-Fulfillment. Technical difficulties. It's having a small technical. Yeah, it froze. Here we go. Okay. Learn how to see, realize that everything connects to everything else. I believe that micro-fulfillment is an interoperation, really, of everything in the e-commerce ecosystem, and using the data to grow your business and to get closer to customers is really the key to unlocking profitability and efficiencies that are available today. Da Vinci provides an end-to-end solution for our partners to utilize our physical location network, strategically placed in hyperlocal regions, to utilize forward-deployed inventory to fulfill online orders to minimize lead time and cost, utilizing our proprietary technology, optimizing all aspects of the e-commerce ecosystem. We deploy fast-forward fulfillment, including three services: micro-fulfillment network, our front-end merchandising, and our network optimization capabilities. And really, as you'll hear, these three things are constant themes throughout the micro-fulfillment industry, the network, and again, how to make things more efficient and profitable for your company, brand and retailer alike. I've been in the industry for over 18 years in the middle of e-commerce across really all levels, focused very heavily on supply chain management, intralogistics, integration, and also brand development, including merchandising and ecosystem planning. So today I'm going to talk about how micro-fulfillment enables growth. There's obviously an increased need for speed in the industry. Consumers are disrupting retail. Brands are really left scrambling, try to meet demand, utilizing fulfillment methods that are designed for another era. To compete and thrive, brands and retailers need the ability to fulfill closer to customers, deliver products in minutes, not hours, not days, nor weeks. Micro-fulfillment solves all those problems. In order to achieve same-day delivery at scale, a hyper-local and connected fulfillment network is critical, as is adopting open technologies for fast integration using AI and efficiency across resources and process. So what is micro-fulfillment? Micro-fulfillment is defined as miniaturized fulfillment centers placed in hyper-local areas to enable same-day delivery, utilizing automation to enhance throughput and capacity. The size of an MFC is relative. Amazon has MFCs that are 200,000 square feet. Retailers like GoPuff and DoorDash have MFCs that are 5,000 square feet. Really depends on the product, the categories, and the business objectives that one's trying to solve. However, MFCs can reduce major operational expense, including the cost of storage, retrieval, picking, last mile delivery, which is the most expensive mile in the chain, and the cost of the real estate through condensing MFCs into additional areas and not having to outfit hundreds of thousands or millions of square feet of space with people, technology, utilities, et cetera. MFCs are a cheaper, more efficient, and sustainable approach. So what are the industry trends that are calling for micro-fulfillment? Demand for faster deliveries, we're all consumers here. Rising growth of online shopping has created this need for same-day deliveries. It's not really feasible with conventional distribution methods, especially in regional areas. But because MFCs are located closer to the end customer, orders can seamlessly be delivered same day. Urbanization. According to the UN, 56% of the global population lives in cities today, and the population will be over 68% by 2050. This makes it difficult, again, for regional distribution centers. And anyone that's been in Times Square know that you can't put a 300,000 square foot distribution center right next to Broadway. High last mile delivery costs. Again, it's the most expensive part of the chain. On average, over $10 to deliver a package. When retailers need to make last mile deliveries from traditional warehouses, that distance and proximity creates a lot of variable, a lot of extra distance, of course, which rises transportation costs. I think we've all seen parcel companies raise rates, and having a mix of parcel and last mile carriers is what you're seeing more relevantly adopted today. So once again, MFCs really increase the speed of those deliveries and make a stronger customer experience. Increasing product variety. Consumer trends obviously have increased with more brands, more subcategories, more differentiation. Brand switching is something that is a big thing today. So having automated MFCs is really one major key element here, as manual picking for a really small SKU count is something that is somewhat feasible. But when you're talking about tens of thousands of different SKUs in hyper-local regions, you really need automation in order to be successful. MFCs are usually well-equipped with AI and robotics to make sure that storage and management of those SKUs is feasible, as well as the replenishment challenges that come into that, and that's really tied hand-in-hand together here. Having MFCs and the data prevalent to those hyper-local regions allows for a lot more visibility in a real-time fashion, allows those well-assorted products to be forecast and replenished back into the appropriate locations. And then obviously we've all seen high turnover in traditional distribution and fulfillment centers. So the more people you need to put into a traditional distribution center, the more likely that you could have additional turnover, but most importantly, the need for MFCs really helps brands and retailers, you know, mitigate that risk. It's very costly to lose employees, very costly to train. Having a core set of people in the mix of automation as well, because automation doesn't replace bodies, it just really enhances their workflow and automates a lot of key processes to create a much safer environment as well. So having that presence really allows for people to stay consistent with their approach in managing their customer experience and the workflow that they have. So as I talked about the industry trends, these are the eight biggest growing pains that most brands and retailers find. So distribution and logistics, order fulfillment, network design, demand forecasting, inventory management, returns, merchandising, and sustainability. There is a massive increase in online sales. Some of that is evening out a little bit. I think people predicting that brick and mortar was going to go away. I don't think that's true. You know, I think that it's going to sustain out. It certainly changed during the pandemic for obvious reasons. But you're talking about trillions of dollars of e-commerce sales, and that percentage is always going to grow. It just might not be at the rate that you've seen it grow over the past 3 years specifically. However, micro-fulfillment really lends itself to every one of these growing pains. By having product in the right locations at the right time, you're creating a positive customer experience and using that data to continue to feed your customer experience and your supply chain. So almost one in four companies struggle to meet delivery times because of travel distance. This challenge, along with a lack of visibility, points to delivery operations that aren't set up for hyper-local delivery today, including a lack of visibility and too far distance between the current warehouse and delivery point. So when interviewing most brands and retailers, really the main issues around lack of real-time data and inefficiencies comes from a disconnect across the last mile. A lot of that has to do with integration tools. A lot of that has to do with placement of facilities. A lot of it has to do with technology and integration. But this could really be solved by digitizing and connecting the last mile. I think the key to unlocking MFCs and continuing to build a really strong customer experience is really aligning that data with supply chain efficiencies. So micro-fulfillment strategy, this is something that people refer to as the four Ds that I heavily believe in. Distance, establishing distribution locations closer to stores and population density. MFCs minimize the distance traveled for delivery, reducing overall transportation costs. Density, locating MFCs closer to concentrated demand ensures higher responsiveness to operations in case of unexpected surges in demand. Flexibility, in delivery and frequency, MFCs enable deliveries to be scheduled in flexible and more frequent time windows, optimizing a company's retail or store operations. Small orders also allow for alternative transportation methods to save on costs and emissions. Sustainability is a really big focus for micro-fulfillment as well. Traveling shorter distances, having different methods of packaging as well, not having to rely on corrugated and be able to develop reusable and interchangeable packaging is something that is, I think you'll see more of what's to come on that, but you'll see a lot of that in the future. Despite high costs, though, micro-fulfillment unlocks a lot of capability, complements the transformation of the new ecosystem, which delivers significant savings in rent and labor costs. MFCs gather real data about the market and the response. Transportation, delivery, as well as product offerings and inventory levels are all optimized with the use of micro-fulfillment. So for 2022, hyper-local delivery, what's really holding us back? 99% of brands and retailers were recently added to a survey, and within the next 3 years, they will all be offering same-day deliveries, which is a goal largely driven by customer demand. Most current last-mile fulfillment models do not support same-day on-demand. These gaps in legacy processes are standing in the way of achieving delivery for fast-growing order volumes. Five things that you see as really the biggest pain points and issues are transparency in data, automation, data carriers, and sustainability. There's a need to be able to connect data into process to create more efficient order fulfillment and a unified commerce experience across fulfillment channels. More than half are still operating last mile operations manually. Only 35% of retailers and brands have actually automated the last mile delivery and fulfillment operations, which includes robotics in warehouses, as well as the technology to automate replenishment, staging, and delivery. There's a clear trend towards automation and more data-driven process. Additionally, the lack of real-time data and the technology to provide it, this problem is quite exacerbated by multiple partners across the chain, as most struggle with visibility and don't have one full source of truth. And measuring this across third parties is very challenging. Carriers, retailers are moving away from a reliance on one single traditional carrier. I think the days of trying to get your largest discount through one traditional parcel carrier are typically over. I think integrating those into a mix of providers that connect with customers faster for very precise needs is what you're going to see more of in the future, and it's really the only way to accomplish what is probably one of the biggest problems, which is actually precision. Sustainability as well, just address that, but carbon emissions are an important consideration to support hyper-local delivery. So meeting customer expectations, having multiple fulfillment options and good service is not enough to ensure a competitive advantage. There's a need to focus on automating back-end processes to create shorter delivery windows and increase customer satisfaction. Retailers and brands are matching customer demand for speed by planning faster delivery timeframes. Next day delivery is probably the most prevalent delivery option right now. About 60% of companies can handle that. I think people are still trying to solve a 1 to 2 day problem. Not everyone can still solve that. And I think by 2025, you'll see most companies trying to hit a 30 minute or under delivery. There's a lot to come on that in the future. There's been a lot with rapid grocery that people have seen where they've been trying to do 15 minutes and under. However, there's a lot of laws right now, specifically in New York City, that are not allowing for that, as it's creating a lot of zoning and easement complications in metropolitan cities as well. So we talked a little bit about the fulfillment operations, but merchandising is a really important key here as well. So creating balance through assortment planning is really a key to unlocking what I think is one of the main drivers of the ecosystem. So when you want to offer a full service model, there's an optionality to in-store and in-line merchandising that is important to really connect. The benefits of providing more reliable service has to do with the amount of SKUs that you ultimately offer and how you can store them and fulfill them. So understanding that there are certain fee structures and associated service levels between those different items, between different regions, between a range of items that may have certain needs such as hazmat control, temperature control, certain packaging, this all creates complexity for your capacity planning, your order accuracy, your picking efficiency, et cetera. So building the right matrix of inline versus online assortment is really critical to unlocking a big component of micro-fulfillment. But what you unlock through that, through the data of those regional drivers really, is really critical to continue to drive your business and to really keep feeding the engine. So how fast is too fast? Research has shown that the US customer's willingness to pay indicates a stronger preference towards precise windows versus faster delivery. So precision is really the most critical piece here. So understanding that through A/B testing and continuously gauging the impact on profitability through real-time data aggregation, it's important to measure things such as the density of your customer base, where you place your micro-fulfillment centers, of course, delivery service radius, consumer incentives, free shipping, order minimums, coupons, gift with purchases, bundles, things like that, that help not only differentiate your assortment, but also allow for a very flexible delivery cadence. Through utilizing data, though, balance can really be achieved. As speed increases, the density of those deliveries declines. So being careful to not create too high of a delivery radius that you cannot fulfill, because ultimately that's going to create higher delivery costs. Long-term viability of assortment planning and instant delivery is obviously very challenging. But again, the use of micro-fulfillment centers and understanding who you're selling to, that's really how you unlock a big piece of data. And you really need technology and automation in order to manage that the right way. So coming down to automation, we talked a little bit about technology automation and being able to use certain local carriers and mechanisms for planning and rate shopping and geo proximity tracking. However, within a micro fulfillment center, robotic automation is a very big trend that I think you're gonna see more of. I think in the next 10 years, 75% of all warehouses will be automated on some level with robotics. Shuttle automation is a really big growing trend. These shuttles travel horizontally down rows of products to unlock speed and efficiencies needed to really sustain profitability and customer demands. This is really one of the biggest keys to unlocking micro-fulfillment in order to utilize these small MFCs and to really max your throughput and capacity. It's very important to invest in automation because there's a direct return on that. When equipped with goods-to-person systems, these are a very powerful engine to enable fast fulfillment. Some of the benefits include automating full picking and put-away processes to almost 100% levels, creating increases in warehouse capacity to 5 to 700%, depending on how much of a facility that you may automate. Of course, having safer worker environments and more peak throughput realization without multiplying your labor costs is critical. Throwing more bodies at a problem during peak season is probably not the answer. So I have a little video to show a demo of automation.
There it is.
So you can imagine the density that automation brings, and it's very modular too, so you can kind of grow into it as you test and learn. Obviously, automation has a high cost to it on a CapEx typically, but the return that you get and the efficiencies by being able to handle the volume is really second to none. That was one of my favorite technologies out there. So it'll be interesting to see how everything adjusts to fulfillment operations since all the recent eruptions and disruptions in the industry since COVID and the pandemic, but creating a connected ecosystem utilizing data and MFCs is really it's really the future, and it's time to really think big and to deploy this type of technology. I think you'll see more and more of that, and over the next several years, there'll probably be thousands of these MFCs across the U.S. and world that you'll see. So in order to get there, connecting and automating that network is going to be critical, and certainly DaVinci is one of a few out there that's starting to get ahead of the curve there. So I hope this was informational for everybody, and thank you to IHA for allowing me to come speak.
Thank you. Are there any questions? So I have a question. If I'm a vendor right now in the housewares industry, and having come a long ways with how the distribution channels, the supply channels are changing, I'm in pretty good shape. But what do I need to do to prepare for the future? What do I need to be thinking about in terms of, as you said, with micro fulfillment, you're going to be doing a lot. You're going to have the capacity to do a lot of things in terms of sustainability, reusing packaging. How should I be thinking right now about a future where micro fulfillment is fairly commonplace across the distribution channel?
Yeah, it's a great question. So it's a lot easier for a multi-tenant environment for brands to be able to afford the deployment of micro-fulfillment centers. So while the industry is moving fast, there's still an argument to be made about slow and steady wins the race. Doing it in a methodical approach where integrating your data to your operations is probably one of the first things that I think needs to be done, along with creating the right somewhat digital transformation internally and having the right people in the right seats. So that they can continue to drive organizationally the right foundation for the company. Because e-commerce is not a channel, it's a part of the ecosystem. So aligning finance to executive leadership, to marketing, to sales, to operations, to IT and supply chain and demand, that's really the first step. And then once you have that understanding who you're selling to, where you're selling, what am I selling, and understanding where your density map lies, right? Where is your distribution located outside of just a traditional brick and mortar presence? Once you unlock that data and you build an infrastructure of operations to support that, it's easier to then go adopt smaller facilities, automate current facilities and processes, go hire third parties to extend your footprint out in the industry. And you know, from a manufacturing perspective, understanding that it is a combined ecosystem, and you know, knowing that when you're manufacturing products, that although it's combined, you know, things like packaging, you know, of course, you can't put a corrugated box on a shelf. You need four-color packaging, but that's kind of, you know, part of the obvious. But having ready-to-ship products that are well protected for fulfillment operations, understanding that there is a different demographic for inline versus online, and starting to understand those assortments. You know, when you look at traditional products that sit on a shelf, you know, in many cases, a blender or a cookware set that has a shelf presence has really been a proven item with a proven, you know, packaging dimension and size that it can take physically on a modular. But, you know, online, it's kind of more of a virtual presence. So understanding that customer is probably willing to see different add-ons and gifts with purchase and buying bundles and cross-merchandising opportunities, you get to start to unlock a lot of real good data about your customers and your products themselves and the legs that it has behind it. So it's why I led with Learn to See that everything is connected, because it really is.
Is there any other questions? Okay, hold on a second.
Hey, thanks for the information. That was good. That was good to hear. Just quick question. A traditional fulfillment center, you know, say they have, I don't know, two locations, east and west, something like that. If they were to open up different locations across the U.S., does that by default make them a micro fulfillment center, or is it the additional, you know, the automation, the data, you know, everything else that you just mentioned there that differentiates you guys?
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's a great question. Yeah, I mean, certainly anyone could open up a fulfillment center and place it anywhere and call it micro on some level. I think size is an element to it. It's more the radius that it serves, right? It's taking wholesaler, 3PL logistics aside or any of those types of channels of services, it's about hyper-local. So, you know, hyper-local doesn't have to be Manhattan, doesn't have to be Atlanta, it doesn't have to be Chicago. But it is a radius that is being served around in a same-day, next-day opportunity, whether it's served by UPS or it's served by DoorDash. The elements of the data and the automation is what enables it to have sustainability, really. That's what enables the throughput. That's what enables the control. That's what enables the customer experience and really the profitability, ultimately.
Any other questions? Well, in that case, thank you very much for the presentation, and thank you for attending. These will be available as audio files, and we'll do a little summation on homepage news. So if you want to look it back up, that should be up on the audio file. Should be up on the IHA site shortly. Otherwise, please enjoy the rest of your day. Check out all of our little functions, the Geo Winners, our color presentation. Hopefully, they'll be informative and spark some ideas. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Thanks for having me.